Today's scripture reading can be found on page 727 in your pew Bibles, and we'll be reading Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 22. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the inspiration and words you have given me. May they be received with open minds and hearts by those hearing them. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Webster's Dictionary defines a hero as a person admired for achievements and noble qualities, or someone who shows great courage. I'd like to list a few heroes you should all know. George Washington, commanding general of the First Continental Army, first president of the United States. William Wallace, Scottish Highlander, the inspiration for the movie Braveheart. Alexander the Great, a Greek king and warrior. Martin Luther King, a nonviolent civil rights leader. The Bible has many heroes. They were heroes for God. We could potentially list hundreds of them, but this morning I'm going to share four heroes that could teach us valuable lessons for our lives today. I will start way back in the Old Testament with Joseph. Joseph was a 17-year-old youngest son of Jacob. Jacob loved Joseph more than any one of his sons, and due to a series of incidents that led to Joseph having dreams that said he would rise above his family, his brothers hated him. They made a plan and took him out where the sheep were kept. They beat him and sold him into slavery. Joseph was sold to Potiphar, Pharaoh's chief guard, the captain of his guard. Potiphar learned to trust Joseph so much he put his whole house in charge of him and never worried, except there was one problem within his house, his wife. His wife decided she wanted to try to seduce Joseph. Twice she tried. Twice he denied. The second time she falsely accused him of rape. He finds himself in prison. For 2 long years, he's in prison. Finally, Pharaoh has dreams. No one in the kingdom of Egypt could interpret these dreams. But Joseph was brought before him, and he interpreted them. And the dream said there would be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Pharaoh was so impressed, he made Joseph governor of all Egypt. Joseph used those 7 years of plenty to gather so much grain, they couldn't even count it. And then the famine came. Joseph was able to sell all the grain to the people of Egypt and the people around them. His brothers were forced to come to Egypt to look for grain. They met Joseph. They didn't know who he was. Joseph tricked them into bringing the entire family to Egypt. Pharaoh was still grateful to Joseph for all he'd done for him. He gave the people, the Hebrew people, the land of Goshen. And in the end, Jacob dies. And I want to read to you what Jacob's last request was. And it is Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, is dead, has died. And he left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sin and the wrongs they committed in treating you badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God, your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children, and reassured them kindly and spoke kindly to them. The true mark of a hero is someone with a forgiving spirit. Joseph was able to overcome everything that happened to him, and he forgave them. Is there someone in your life today that you need to seek forgiveness from? Or maybe is there someone you need to forgive? If so, why haven't you done it? The second hero is Moses. I'm not going to cover all of Moses' life because I don't want to be up here for 40 years. Moses was a Hebrew, born at a time when Pharaoh had commanded that every firstborn male Hebrew was to be thrown into the Nile. Moses' mother couldn't do this. She built a basket, hid him in the reeds on the edge of the Nile River. He was saved by Pharaoh's sister, a princess of Egypt. He grew up a prince of Egypt. He was taught how the military of Egypt fought. One day he goes for a walk and he finds an Egyptian official whipping a Hebrew. He kills them. Now he is a murderer and he is on the run. He's in the desert and he sees a bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. And here he meets God in the form of a voice from heaven. God tells him to do the one thing he really doesn't want to do. Go see Pharaoh. Moses has a choice here. Does he let his fear run his life? Or does he put his trust in God? He chooses to put his trust in God. He visits Pharaoh 10 times. Not once, but 10 times. And every time he goes, Pharaoh says no. And every time Pharaoh says no, God releases a plague on Egypt, and each one gets worse and worse and worse. When we get to the 10th plague, God unleashes the angel of death with this command: kill the firstborn of every living thing in Egypt, including human beings. But God gives the Hebrews a way out. He instructs them to kill an unblemished lamb and paint the blood on each doorstep of a Hebrew household, and the angel of death would pass them by. This is where Passover came from. Now, imagine this. Here's Moses leading thousands of people out of Egypt. They're singing, they're dancing, they're playing instruments. Real hero. Till they get to the Red Sea. Here's the obstacle in front of them. Pharaoh's changed his mind. He's behind them. God opens the Red Sea. We know Hebrews went through in the Egyptians drowned. There are people out there who will say this did not happen. But just recently, within the last 2 years, archaeologists have proven by diving into the Red Sea, they have found remnants of Egyptian chariots and other Egyptian artifacts. So it did happen. Now, Moses isn't too much of a hero after he gets past the Red Sea, because he has thousands of these people complaining, demanding things of him, demanding things of God. So they're frustrated with Moses, and finally God's frustrated with them, and he condemns them to 40 years of wandering in the desert. Moses tries really hard to maintain his relationship with God, but even he fails. So we'll leave him there. There's a lesson to be learned here. We are all going to have problems. We're all going to have fears. We have a choice, same as Moses. Are you going to let your fears rule your life? Or are you going to give them to God? You give them to God, you think you have, you know how they're going to end. But they may not end that way. They'll end up better. My next person is somebody I really can identify with. He's in the New Testament. He's got a type A personality. He's impulsive. He's determined. He's inquisitive. And he's really good at putting on a false face about what's going on in his life. This would be Peter. Peter was the first disciple that was chosen, followed by his brother Andrew. Do you remember the story when Jesus is preaching on shore and he tells the disciples to take the boat out and I'll meet you later? And they see him walking across the water and they're a little bit terrified. Not Peter. Peter says, God, tell me to come and I'll come. And he doesn't think. He just jumps over the side of the boat. And he starts walking. He does really good until he takes his eyes off Jesus, looks at the water and says, oh boy, people can't do this. And what does he do? He sinks. Jesus has to rescue him. Next, we see Peter. The night Jesus is betrayed, Peter's there saying, God, I will never let you go. I will defend you to the death. Never will I leave you go. And Jesus just looks at him and says, Peter, you're wrong. Tonight before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And he does. We find Peter, the next time we find Peter, he's the first disciple to enter the empty tomb. And then Jesus pulls a surprise. He shows up to the 11 in the house in Jerusalem. And he goes to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? Not once, but three times. To remind Peter that he has denied him, but God still loves him. Then God really surprised Peter. He goes to him and says, Peter, you are the rock I'm going to build my church on. Peter did not let his past define who he was. There are people sitting in here today that are shackled to their past. Peter could have been one of them. He didn't, and all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The last person I'm going to talk to, I'd like to call a superhero. That would be Jesus. We know approximately 50 to 55 days of Jesus' entire life. And I'm going to give you a short biography of them. He was born to a 14 to 16-year-old virgin who was impregnated by the Spirit of God. At 12, we see him in the synagogue amazing the teachers as he's teaching them. At 30, here he comes. He brings an entire new ministry into the world. This ministry is designed to prove that a humble, educated man with great compassion for other people can change the world. He has amazing abilities. He can heal the sick, make the blind see, the lame walk. He can remove demons from people's bodies. He can even raise the dead. But he never takes credit once for this. He always gives the credit to God. So the ministry he is trying to teach us is how God loves affects us and how we should live our lives as his people. We should live and how we should live and treat each other. We are unable to do the miracles he did, but we can still treat those different than us with compassion and dignity, helping everyone we can, but most of all, we must do it with no expectation of reward or recognition. Do you know that there are heroes among us today? And this is one of my favorite things. On September 11th, 2011, a great tragedy hit America, and it changed it forever. Over 3,000 people died that day. One of them was a 68-year-old Franciscan friar named Mikhail F. Judge. He was killed going towards the towers when they collapsed and the debris buried him. When the first responders were first able to dig him out, they found in his pocket a small card with four little lines on it. Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet the people you want me to meet. Teach me what you want me to say, and take me out of your way. Can you imagine what God could do with everyone in the world if we just adopt four simple lines? So every day, police, firefighters, military, et cetera, display strength, courage, and trust in God. Today is Youth Sunday. And I can see you all sitting out there saying, what's all these talking about these old heroes have to do with me? It has everything to do with you. Everyone in this room is a hero to someone, and I'm going to divest a little bit. I want to thank Russell for fitting in. This is amazing how God works in strange ways. He said his son is just like him. Parents, grandparents, be careful. You're their heroes. Youth, you're a hero to someone. Are you the older brother, the older sister? Those underneath you are looking to you, and they are going to act exactly like you do. So I'm going to challenge all of you, not just the youth. I'm going to challenge you to find a way to forgive like Joseph, to put your faith over your fears, because you all, the older ones all know that there are going to be terrible times in your life when you're going to have to choose. And you have to be like Peter. Don't let your past define you. Learn from it and become a better person. And ultimately, we'll all be able to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Amen.